Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. I warmly welcome you today to our meeting, and may the Lord be pleased to meet with each one of us and bless our hearts as we gather around His precious word. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before Thee humbly and reverently. We draw nigh in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. We come pleading His perfect righteousness and all of the infinite merit of His atoning blood. We thank thee that we can draw nigh to the throne of grace and come with confidence and with an holy boldness, for the blood has been shed and the way has been opened. We cry to thee that as we meet here this day, that thou wilt draw nigh to us, that thou wilt open up our hearts, that we might receive aright the precious word of the Lord, and grant that thy name will be magnified and glorified as we endeavour to preach Christ and him crucified. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for our Saviour's sake. Amen. Our scripture reading is found in the New Testament scriptures in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, and commencing our reading at verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And we know that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for Christ's sake. Amen. And now let's further praise God in the hymn, Immortal Honours Rest on Jesus' Head.
Thank you.
Matthew Henry, the much loved and much valued Bible commentator, said, "The business of our lives is not to please ourselves, but to please God." And that sums up the whole purpose for living. We're not born for ourselves, and so we shouldn't really then live to have any glory given to ourselves. The great Apostle Paul, he was a man who lived for the Lord and for the honour and for the glory of his name. And no matter what aspect we take of Paul's life, we find that it was all fixed and focused and centred upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a Christ-centred motive in all that he did. When he was writing to the Colossians, he said, "Christ is all and in all." And that truth, that great truth, motivated his whole manner of living. He was the great preacher and evangelist, the great teacher of God's word, and he always preached a Christ-centered message. Indeed, he said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." And then if we think upon his mission was a Christ-centered mission, because he said, "The love of Christ constraineth us." And the word translated constraineth there, it really means to govern or control. The love of Christ governs us. The love of Christ constrains us. His love for the Apostle Paul was such that he was saying, "I'm constrained to make his glory the great end for which I live." And he summed up his entire life in the words of our text in Philippians 1 and verse 21, when he said these words, "For to me to live is Christ." It was as if someone had asked him the question, "Paul, could you tell me what your life really is? Could you sum up your life? What is your life?" And he gave this very simple, short, succinct answer that summed it all up. "For to me to live is Christ." Now, why was he able to say that? Well, for several reasons. First of all, he could say that because he had a personal experience of salvation in Jesus Christ. His life was a life of faith in Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Listen to how he expressed it when he was writing to the Galatians. Galatians 2, verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So he had personal faith in Jesus Christ, personal faith in the glorious person of Christ, personal faith in the great redemptive work of the cross work of the Savior. But why for Paul did life involve living by the faith of the Son of God? For this simple reason, that the Lord graciously and mercifully showed to him that he was a sinner. Now, prior to this, Paul did live a very, very religious life. He was a Pharisee. Indeed, he tells us that he was an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And then he said this, "Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." So as far as he was concerned at that time, he was able to perfectly keep what God's law demanded. And God's law demanded a perfect righteousness. And he thought that he could provide that perfect righteousness that God required in his holy law. But then he came to see, because God graciously revealed to him that he was a sinner, he was a transgressor, a breaker of God's law. And all the things that he thought he had that were pluses were really minuses. All the gains that he thought he had, they were really losses. So much so that he penned these words, "What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He didn't have a perfect righteousness, and yet there is a perfect righteousness provided in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God revealed to Paul that he was one in need of this righteousness. He didn't possess it of himself, and he must come and receive it from Christ. And how would he do that? He would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he was brought into a saving union with Christ. He was joined to Christ by saving faith. You remember how he put it when he was writing to the Romans? In Romans chapter 1, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Listen to those words. To everyone that believeth. And then he went on to say, "For therein," that is in the gospel, "therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And when he heard that, he came to trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Have you done that? Have you got Christ's righteousness as your righteousness? Because remember, God demands a perfect righteousness. And as a sinner, you don't have that righteousness. But God, in love and mercy, has provided it for you in the person of his Son. And therefore, you need to come and trust in him. So Paul could say, "For to me to live is Christ," because he had a personal experience of the salvation of God in Christ Jesus. But then he could say that for another reason, and it's this: that he had a present enjoyment of communion with Christ. How important that is. A present enjoyment of communion with Christ. His heart responded in love to the very one who had now become the object of his love when he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us that it's faith that worketh by love. And Paul now loved his Savior. In fact, we referred to the verse earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:14, when he said, "The love of Christ constraineth us." And he said again, speaking of love, "Love beareth all things." And in the context there, he was saying that there is really no task too difficult to undertake for Christ, no burden too heavy to bear for the honor of Christ's name. And Paul bore it all gladly. Why? Because he so loved Christ, and he was in fellowship and communion with Christ day by day. Put it this way, his heart's delight was Christ, and his heart's desire was to know more of Christ. And he would only know more of Christ whenever he was communing with him. And the more he knows of Christ, the more he loves Christ. Because faith begets love to Christ. And love always gives birth to a desire for and a delight in communion with the Lord Jesus. And that's why we find that Paul prayed in Philippians 3, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Paul, are you saying that you don't know the Lord? No, he's not saying he doesn't know the Lord in a saving way. He does now, but he wants to know more of him. He wants to commune more with his Lord and Savior. And so he's praying that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That was his desire, to commune and fellowship with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hence he can say, honestly, "For to me to live is Christ." I'm enjoying, not just enduring, no. I'm enjoying this Christ-centered life. Are you? Can you say that? That you're enjoying such a life as this that Paul enjoyed? communing with the Lord Jesus. So he could say this because of a personal experience and a present enjoyment. But then he could say it for another reason, and it's this: a prime enlistment in the service of his Lord and Savior. Over in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 22 and verse 10, we have it recorded there that he was asking the Lord what the Lord would have him to do now that he was saved, now that he was in Christ, now that he knew union with the Son of God by faith. And from that very moment, he was really enlisting in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ah, but you might say, well, Paul was the great evangelist and the preacher. I will never be an evangelist. I will never be a preacher. I will never be a missionary. But are you a child of God? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, then every believer is called to serve in some way, in some capacity, for his or her Savior. The Apostle Paul was willing to sacrifice all, even life itself, for his Lord and Savior. The psalmist reminds us, "My tongue shall speak of thy word." And that's exactly what Paul did, and that's exactly what you can do as one who's saved. Your tongue can speak of the Lord's precious word. Because think about the word of the Lord for a moment. The word of the Lord tends to edification. So you can speak it to other believers and encourage them in the faith and in the way. The word of the Lord not only tends to edification, but it tends to restoration. So you can speak the precious word of the Lord to those who may be backslidden at heart, to those who have grown cold, to those who once ran well for the Lord, but something hindered them. Can't you be an encouragement to them and bring the word of the Lord before them so that they might be drawn back into the way? Yes, there's a work for you to do. You can serve the Lord in this way by spreading forth his word, not only to those who are already saved to encourage them, to those who are backslidden that they would be brought back to their first love once again, but also the word of the Lord tends to salvation. Therefore you can speak that word to those who are still unsaved, to those who are in need of Christ, to those who need to be born again of the Spirit of God. There is a work that only you can do, and you are to do it for him. Because all that we do as believers, aren't we doing it for the Lord? All of the testimony that we bear, all of the witnessing that we engage in whatever way, whether it's by word of mouth, or whether it's by giving out a gospel tract, or bearing a word of personal testimony, in whatever way we can serve our Savior, because we have enlisted in his service. And the Apostle Paul certainly had enlisted in the service of his Lord. Have you? Are you truly and really and genuinely serving him even today? Are you able to say with Paul, "For to me to live is Christ"? We've only got one life, and this life on earth is fast ebbing away. None of us know how long we have left. It might be a very, very short time, but one thing is certain: we need to redeem the time. We need to buy up the time. We need to be certain that we have enlisted in the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's so important. And I would urge you today, if you're not serving as you should, that you would begin to truly give your all for your Lord and Savior, because remember, he gave his all for you. It was the great missionary C.T. Studd who penned the lines, "Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in His will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for Thee and Thee alone. Listen again to those words, living for Thee and Thee alone, bringing Thee pleasure on Thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And then a final verse that he penned, only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, Thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And how true those words are. Only what's done for Christ will last. The Apostle Paul realized that. He said, for to me to live, that's what life really is for me. That's what life really means for me. For to me to live is Christ. In fact, he summed it all up in that one word, Christ, the Lord Jesus himself. May you be able to say, as Paul, for to me to live is Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we draw nigh again to Thee in our Saviour's name, and we ask that Thou wilt take Thy word, that Thou wilt bless Thy truth to hearts today, and grant that there will be those who will be able to say, for to me to live is Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.